help us to commence this evening with hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares, to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord, and contradict his gracious word. 961.
Let us read together firstly from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter 1 from verse 18. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. A few verses in Acts chapter 16. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We turn to the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And we will read a few verses from verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course unto Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates. So these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." We leave the reading of God's own word there. Amen. Oh Lord, we do seek that mercy to be toward us. We do not want to be making forms of words. We do need thee, Lord, to move our hearts in prayer and desire. We would see Jesus. We ask, Lord, that thou come where we are, known to thee, and all may we feel it. Lord, do come and be with us in the midst, or be in the midst of our hearts too, and remember us, Lord, for good. We do ask that thou would make one with us, as thou dost so do to those that are loved of God. So we pray for that gracious blessing. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We do pray, Lord, that thou would remember that each one of us, we're all the same on the verge of eternity, really. We want to be right, we hope. We all do seek that righteousness which is of the Lord himself. Lord, remember that each case and each need, those, Lord, that are oppressed with temptation, those that find in their hearts that there is that wretched unbelief. Oh, what a root it has. Pray that thou help us with the man that was helped with his unbelief. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. We pray that thou wilt remember any in affliction's path, and do be pleased, Lord, to come and grant thy mercy and thy help, thy healing touch. We pray, Lord, for those that may need thee to come and bless them in the hymn that we have sung, to be still. Know that thou art God. Oh, what a peace there is in it. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that seek thee. Do grant we may all be seekers. And O Lord, remember those that fail to seek in vain. But Lord, we pray that there may be a sweet light in their hearts and ours. Maybe a blessing for the poor. Thou remember those that feel so far off, and yet we would plead the blood of Jesus and seek, Lord, for the virtue of it, that it may bring us nigh. We pray that thou to remember our friends and do be with them. We pray that there may be always that sweet bond in Christ Jesus, that desire, Lord, to seek to blessing toward us in the causes. That thou, Lord, wilt remember us and grant the very blessing of the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We pray also, Lord, that thou wilt remember our friends, the deacons, and do be mindful of them and help them continually. And do remember that each and every one, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be mindful of us in this service, and if we are spared on the Sabbath. And remember each cause represented, and those that we bring to thee especially. We notice the order in thy word. Our desire is, Lord, there may be God-given grace to know and do thy will by the Spirit of God, and that walking in thy ways. Break down the obstacles of mountains, and do grant, O Lord, sweet knowledge of the Lord himself. We pray that thou remember Zion and do turn again unto us. And remember us, Lord, for good, and hear the prayers that go up from Zion, the desires, Lord, and those that make petition in their own homes too. Lord, remember. Remember us in Zion and return unto us and grant answers of peace. Hear us, Lord, at such a time as this. And do mercifully forgive. And do hear us for ourselves and for our nation. And do appear. But oh, how unworthy we feel to be in every view. Oh, do have mercy upon us. We ask, Lord, that in our hearts there may be that sweet springing up of that thankfulness. Lord, that sweet gratitude. As we record thy mercies and come amongst the brethren and pray, Lord, that there may be that sweet spirit of thankfulness. Although there may be troubles and trials, the Lord stands above it. We ask that thou wilt remember those in our hearts to pray for. Those, Lord, that we bring to thee. And we seek, Lord, that thou wilt hear us now in that desire, Lord, for something real. Hear the prayer. Grant, O Lord, thy gracious help, breakthrough, and do come and visit us with thy salvation. Grant us, Lord, in our hearts one of those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But oh, we need that precious blood of the atonement, the Lord to grant it to us in our desires. Lord, what sin and ruin we feel, Lord, to come over our sin and unworthiness. Remember our friend in the home. We bear her up before thee, seeking, Lord, that thou look right down and grant the comfort of thy love, thy gracious help, and do grant us, Lord, those sweet encouragements that we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to us each that blessing. And those we bring to thee, Lord, that thou wilt bless them indeed. We ask now, Lord, that thou wilt come. Help us in the singing of thy worthy praises. May our poor hearts be lifted up. And grant, O Lord, that gracious help to worship thee aright with thanksgiving and repentance too, in everything, with prayer and supplication, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hear us, Lord, in thy high abode. Come, Lord, and calm our minds and hearts. Grant us that help this evening. And do be with us, Lord, more than we can ask. Come and receive us and help us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1054. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the saints thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. 1054.
By the help of God, I will direct you to the word upon my spirit in the epistle to the Philippians. The epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, reading from verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is a sweet theme, isn't it? If God may be pleased to grant us some sweet liberty, Emmanuel, God with us, supplying the needs of his dear people, how many they may be, is known to God. What needs they have in their souls may especially be before him. And what a word it is, Emmanuel, for the needs of his dear people. Because that's what we need, isn't it? The Lord himself. That great need, we often say, to be right at last. To be ready when the Lord shall come. Indeed, may Emmanuel come himself, and it shall be well. We have read those words so well known. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Oh, it's a sweet theme to poor sinners, I hope we can say. What is there to be compared to that sweet truth of Emmanuel, God with us? We shall not lack anything. No, it's that need, isn't it, that is felt, and those needs especially that rise up as God grants us grace. For those needs are new in the hearts of those that are quickened into life. They've got needs they never knew before. And certainly those that have long been in the way, how they need Emmanuel. They need the Lord to come himself and fulfill such a word as this in the very truth of the gospel. Emmanuel, God with us. What can the world give, friends, to a poor sinner that is called by grace? It can bring nothing, can it? And yet we may try to gather things up, and poor human nature says, well, that we'll get through at last. But the law of God is so great, we need Emmanuel himself to grant us that safety in Christ, his great salvation. And not to just know it as we do, certainly. In the letter we are acquainted with it, aren't we? Rightly so. But friends, it's feeling, isn't it? Our need of Emmanuel is that cry unto the Lord himself. If so be, there may be hope. These words seem to rest upon my mind, and I want to discharge my thought firstly. I wondered at the unfitness to ever begin to give out such a text. But my God shall supply all your needs. the apostle was sweetly blessed by God himself. We've read a few things, haven't we, of the appointing of God to the church at Philippi. Indeed, the church was formed, sinners were gathered together, and soon the Lord began to work. We may touch upon it. Our thought is this: we may easily give out a text and say, well, God supplies a need, yes. We believe it, but we do want that witness in our heart that we are in a right place, especially thinking of our unfitness. What a text. God supplying the needs of his people. How so we want to touch upon it. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Now, what lays upon my mind, just for a few moments, is the ordinance of the preaching of the gospel. Oh, that there might be that sweet anointing. It's bringing these truths, not because they're in the letter of the word, but the indicting, that we might be able to speak of the needs of his people supplied by Emmanuel, God with us. We might be sweetly enabled to speak of those vital truths, and also a little of the Lord himself and all his sweet suitability. Do I touch upon the ordinance of the ministry? It seems that we were directed to speak, to read that chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. Really, it's really sweet to read that part where the Lord directed Paul by a vision. The vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. God was in it. And the vision was this: there stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so it was. There was a sweet understanding by the Spirit. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia. Not alone, we endeavoured to go. Some dear souls bound together. Assuredly gathering. That the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. A divine appointment. The beginning of God's sweet work to his glory. And loosing from Troas, the king's business required haste. Loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. Samothracia and so on to Philippi. And that's where God directed this man of God with such sweet success. But the Spirit's gracious work in sinners' hearts. One especially, Lydia. I like that account. Whose heart the Lord opened. Well, that's what we need, isn't it? As we come before the Lord. The Lord to open our hearts in confession unto repentance. The Lord to open our hearts with that desire for the Lord and for those blessings of the Lord that might come and graciously revive his church in the wilderness. May grant to us those evidences that the Lord remaineth among us, that we need it. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized in her household. It's not a general matter, friends, it's the power of the Spirit. The effect of God's grace in each heart, each soul, has brought, I believe, to know the bitterness of sin and the need of the dear Redeemer. Perhaps as he preached, there was such an overflowing that there was that haste. It's the Lord's work we need, isn't it? There is a set way of God, and may the Lord turn many unto it. I've said very clearly, the ways of obedience are in decay. The Lord grant us grace, friends, to be faithful. But it needs the Spirit of God. We read of the Lord being pleased to grant the power of his Spirit and the springing up of the word in sinners' hearts and that attending to his commandments. We do not dwell so long there. I like those words, Lord, come into my house and abide there. Many views to look at that. We need it in our own hearts and need it in the house of God. There's many things we do need, friends, the Lord to drive out that careless spirit and grant the moving of the Spirit of God in poor sinners' hearts, and there'll be a moving then. We seek to speak wisely. Do not really dwell so long there, but that's how it struck me. Oh, to be able to speak according to the purpose of God. My God shall supply all your need. In that way in which he is pleased to bring in the dead elect. That's a good term, isn't it? And then to provide their needs. Where? In the church, yes. But in every view, I believe as soon as those hearts renewed, they'll have fresh troubles. There'll be those things that bring them to the mercy seat. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will hear thee. Thou shalt glorify me. There'll be something to bring us to the throne of grace with that desire for his mercy. Not being able to understand everything, but to fall at the feet of Emmanuel, God with us, the supply of every need, and especially for the Lord to be graciously going with a few poor sinners that are bound together and that they're persuaded. When God is pleased to bless them, what a persuasion there is. These are the ways of God. It doesn't need man to work and try to bring poor sinners into the ways of God. We must not linger long in those thoughts. But it's the clear, blessed work of the Spirit of God. That's a beautiful account in the Acts of the beginning of this church here at Philippi. Many sweet verses, if we be able to think of the way the Lord had brought together a few poor sinners, and their love was to the apostle as he came with the truth of God, and yet He had his bonds in Christ, but they wrote to him, conveyed to him their love. With those many, many deeds, and we have it in the first chapter or so, how they seem to love, that's a witness to the truth it got right in their hearts, hasn't it? So they love the dear man of God, and it brings us perhaps more especially unto the text. But they were not without their troubles and trials and different things. But the Lord sweetly blessed his word. It's as if it overflowed those things. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, the dispensation of it, the beginning of the Lord bringing those sweet tokens, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But I just noticed that his work was among the churches. He loved the church at Philippi. They loved the servant of God. He said, I have all in abound that was granted. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. That's practical godliness. An odour of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And that is how he writes these words, but my God shall supply all your need. It's like an equality, isn't there? A very sweet understanding of the Lord's goodness to him. And he wishes them nothing else than Emmanuel, God to be with them. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I want to look at it only doctrinally, but also experimentally, practically too. But this dwells upon my mind. We do well to think of the good, the blessed supply through the merits of Emmanuel from all eternity. And yet, in that condescension, so that in eternity past there was that fullness in the covenant, nothing lacking in it, but it needed the mediator. There was that sweet fullness of God the Father in setting up his Son and sweetly making him known by the prophets of God, how faithful they were. And then that's a wonderful theme, the Lord providing for the needs of his church before they fell. That's grace, isn't it? The grace of the Father. It's a wonderful theme. Oh, the Lord of life and glory, graciously, sweetly, in the truth of the gospel, saying, here am I, send me, with that love in his heart to the Father and the church upon his heart. I just touch upon it. Needs supplied from all eternity in the spirit and truth of the gospel. Friends, it must be said, it's in God, but it can only flow through the merits of Emmanuel. Can't reach the church of God, but through the sweet work and blessed truth of Emmanuel to convey every good. I know no other gospel, friends, that needs supplied only for soul and circumstances through the Lord himself. and in blessed covenant we might be sure of it. Fullness resides in Jesus our head. It abides to answer our need. Indeed it speaks of it in the beginning of the Gospel of John. I love those verses. John bare witness and said, of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. I like that. Grace for grace. Then we must notice the truth in our text concerning the doctrine of Emmanuel, leaving the realms of bliss to dwell with his dear people, or to be their salvation. But it's in the condescension, friends, of leaving that high abode with that love to the Father in his heart and love to the church. Wonderful theme, isn't it? So blessedly revealed in the Gospel, the greatness of a Father's love in appointing such a Saviour and a great one. That's where needs are supplied. God saw that it was good. Thus Emmanuel must sweetly be made known at the set time. That time was come, wasn't it? The virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's such a depth of divinity. Well, that ever there should be such a blessed Saviour appointed, but greatly do we wonder at his condescending love to be with sinners. It's the very worst of sinners. Haters of God by nature. Opposed to God, the Spirit and the Trinity by nature, until that that sums them up. That they are so far off, it needs God himself. We'll not have this man Emmanuel to reign over us. What a mercy if he does. What a mercy, friends, if he comes over all our sin and unworthiness. And then there's something to mention, friends, and that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Thought about it today, and it's a feel very humbled about it, I hope. And yet the Lord to come where poor sinners are, that's grace. It needs a Saviour's love, doesn't it? Here is electing love and the blessed truth of the Father, but oh, the sweet revealing of his Son. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. That is the one that is exalted in the ministry. That is the one that must be lifted up. Oh, so many things are lifted up, aren't they, in this poor world, but they all come to nothing. But this blessed truth remains, and it shall be sweetly known in sinners' hearts and to an end, and that is to the glory of God and the salvation of his dear people. Now, the matter of it is the breaking down, isn't it? The subduing old nature, causing our hearts to bow and to know the mercy seat, like that man we've read. What must I do to be saved? That really speaks of it. Not that he thought his works would suffice, but what shall become of me? Perhaps there's something like that. Well, the Lord grant a little of that sweetness of Jesus' name. You know, it's sweet in sinners' hearts, isn't it? That's the blessed work and witness of the Holy Spirit of God, taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them, the characters, his traitors and his foes. He subdues the heart and brings to the law. And that's a good work of the Spirit to convince of sin. Oh, needful. We stand upon it, friends, in some way or other, that the Lord will write the law in the heart. It may be that we're troubled about it. We do not know the law enough. Well, I would say be careful how you pray to the Lord about that. The matter is this. It's necessary to magnify the dreadful plague of sin and bring us to the mercy seat. And it's where mercy finds, isn't it? These poor characters. According to Emmanuel, his rich grace. I want to come a little further. But my God shall supply all your need. Just one or two thoughts. I believe that it is right to say man stands in need of a refuge in the wrath of God, unperceived. He stands in need of a divine refuge, a hiding place. He knows it not. And such were some of you, but then. As much as God opens the heart like Lydia, there's need of a refuge, isn't there? You might know where you are tonight, friends, whether you need a refuge or not. To whom else shall we go? Or where can you go, friends, with your load of sin and trouble and that need of the Lord? Where can you go but to the Lord himself? But it's with that spirit of lowliness, isn't it? That's what I like. Sinners, that friends, that they come on that low ground. So be. Maybe hope. They don't bring the way God should deal with them. They wonder if they are right and they have to come just as they are. And that's not much, is it? But there's sweet lines in the hymn, come just as thou art with all thy woe. And so there are many verses about it. It's the drawing, isn't it? But it's Emmanuel's grace. One that Father hath appointed to draw these sinners right out of the world, to bring them by a way that they know not, knew not, in paths they have not known. Now, as much as the Lord grants that new birth and the spirit of life, really, there's that desire for the truth. Whatever they have here, they want the truth more than that, if I may say it so simply. They want real things. I think it right to say the Lord teaches us our ignorance, our poverty, our wretchedness. He teaches us how much we can do nothing. And yet there is that desire for the Lord to find a way for us. That's that mercy seat, isn't it? Lord, find a way for the worst of sinners. We could go on, but it's a way into the text, really. God supplying the need of these poor sinners that are not left in nature's darkness. They're not left in that dreadful rebellion. The Lord breaks it down and he brings things and troubles. sanctifies the heart, perhaps even in the workplace. The Lord knows how to sanctify things, doesn't he? Perhaps we don't care for it much when we're set at naught in a public way or something. You know, that's how the Lord draws his people unto himself. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, I want to view it, friends, in the glorious person of Emmanuel. Is the way in which I would desire to speak of it in the spirit of the gospel. God supplying all the needs of poor, guilty, ruined men abundantly in Emmanuel. God with us. Then it's believing it, isn't it? And sweetly being. It's like being brought to the light. It's that work and power of God to deliver from the careless, unconcerned by whatever way God will bring, especially the knowledge of sin. I want to be ever so clear about that. The taste of it. Be convinced of it before God, even before Emmanuel. To be brought to seek the Lord in a time when he may be found. What about the world that say, well, their minds are affected. They'd be better off going in the ways of the world. Look how they enjoy themselves. But in the hearts of God's people, there's a witness that they need the Lord more than they can ever express or explain. And they come up to God's house. They are persuaded. Emmanuel can meet them there. As the Lord may graciously open the heart. It's all in him, isn't it? Not in the creature that is not so bad as he was. It's not that there is perhaps a better life. Well, the Lord will straighten us out, I'm sure of that. But it's this, isn't it? It's that ground where the Lord meets his people. It is the ground of mercy. In other words, it's where Emmanuel is. It is where the Lord is pleased to bring his people. If so be, there may be hope. If so be, he may look, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low. Seeking only thee to know. You know, we've got bad hearts. Go back, don't they? Go back. And the Lord will bring his people more and more upon the merits of the dear Redeemer Emmanuel. I want to speak of it. Emmanuel, God with us, with a poor sinner that has come to the end of all things. Feels that God has gone out against him with dear Jeremiah and the Lamentations. Knows that they're brought to the ends of the earth. They know the ends of the earth. Experimentally. They're brought to this place. They feel that their names are left out. They're left to themselves, and that makes them worse. Different, isn't it, when the Lord appears? And there's a sweet drawing of these poor sinners. Scarcely can they explain it. The Lord draws them from afar. I've known what it is to be in God's house in a wretched state and to leave it so different. Not having got everything, but feeling to have obtained something, to hope and to seek the Lord still, and to look unto him. Now, the proof of it is, what think ye of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us? So, well, that's a wonderful thing. So undeserving. So very poor. But it's the gospel, isn't it? And that lifting up of the dear Redeemer, Emmanuel himself. Thinking of it in the gospel. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now there's something else. I must quickly come to it. Because it's when the Lord grants this blessed lifting up of Emmanuel in a poor sinner's heart. How is it? Well, that's the Blessed Spirit's work. What a sweet work it is. To convince of sin over many years, even over a lifetime. And then to lead to Jesus' blood. To draw the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace. Now, it does seem right to speak of it like this. This blessed work of the Spirit, it directs poor sinners to Emmanuel, I'm sure of it. Really, that's the proof, isn't it? It's that blessed work of the Spirit in the glorious third person of the Trinity, to lead these poor souls aright, to lift them up, bring them on their way, grant some sweet word of encouragement, perhaps a line of a hymn, perhaps something comes suddenly. I was speaking to somebody just very recently. When the Lord brings something out of nowhere, as we might say, it's where he's been, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. He leaves some token. He is to be found. And sweetly, see, he leads the soul aright. The blessed Spirit leads poor sinners unto Jesus Christ, their only hope. And then there's the application of it, that they know he's their only hope. They're brought to this place where they say, give me Christ, or else I die, and it's real. And the Lord puts it to the test. Maybe lost for Christ. Maybe things that severely try that little grain of faith. Those things that come, and the Lord knows just what to bring. To take us, I was going to say, off our perch. What I mean is to bring us down until we are like Zacchaeus, come down for today. I must abide at thy house, that's a good day. Experimentally. Oh, it is when the Lord is pleased to show himself Emmanuel through the lattice. Friends, when you... Is it right to say when there's an appointing of the minister? Perhaps a pastor, I don't know. It's whether they can speak well of Emmanuel, isn't it? It doesn't matter about the knotty divinity that can be said. Have they been with Emmanuel? They know something of his love, what he can do. know the difference when the Lord hides his face. Moisture is turned into the drought of summer, and hearts wither and souls faint. It needs Emmanuel. I'm sure of it. Full of grace and truth. But that is the one that the Father has lifted up, sweetly made known, but it's a wonderful work, the Spirit to reveal that glorious God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. But now I want to come a little further. That is the way into liberty, isn't it? Gospel liberty. Emmanuel, God with us. When he sweetly draws near, he conquers the heart, and there's that sweet love to his name, and that desire for the Lord himself and his ways and his truth. Now today there's a spirit of, well, it's not quite so bad, but we have to put up with this and that. Friends, seek that true and right hearing of the lifting up of Emmanuel and salvation, the ends of the earth. But I must hasten. We come so far short. No, it's his merits, friends, that are lifted up in a poor sinner's heart. Let me direct you to his precious blood. Oh, the virtue of it. The godly, gracious, blessed nature of it. For the forgiveness of sin. Oh, the wonderful truth of it. Oh, when the Lord grants a sprinkling of it in a poor sinner's heart, and the heart is healed up, isn't it? As the Lord grants that sweet knowledge of him. That precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. Emmanuel. God with us. I make no apologies, friends. He's a real man. If wounds still gaping wide. If not, we're lost. Oh, sweet the atonement. God makes it known. In the spirit of the gospel. Some say, I need it applied. Friends, look to the sprinkling. I haven't got such a vital knowledge as some have, and I feel I must have full assurance. And friends, be careful. The Lord grant you that grace to creep beside him, looking unto Jesus, seeking in his blood there may be a refuge. That atonement for sin, all sin, black sin, unbelief. We need the Lord to apply it. Sure we do. Do you know, we need to be in our right place. Low at his feet. With a believing heart by God's grace. And it needs a heart upright, doesn't it? Right. I speak of it like this. The Lord leads his people in the way. And that is where the Lord draws near and shows himself. Through the lattice, perhaps he leaves you a handful of purpose. Another application. Where his good hand has been. Something left for the worst. And sweet following on then, isn't there? You won't want any other field but the field belonging to Boaz. Mercy, it belongs to him. I want to hasten. There's something that rests upon my mind in the word here, which is as if God must make it known to poor sinners by that sweetness of the name of Emmanuel. according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does it mean? Well, I believe we may speak of the sacred truth of Emmanuel, God with us, in that blessed truth of Christ and him crucified. Now my God's martyred man, says the hymn writer. What a depth there is in it. And then it seems to me there's one blessed attribute that stands out to me. But we notice the glorious truth of his ascension. Sweet theme, isn't it? And then his intercession. That's where I want to come. Because that, I believe, directs us to that priestly work in heaven's high courts above. Emmanuel, God with us. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, it's when the Lord, as it were, he draws his people unto their great high priest. It's his offering, isn't it? I've said man needs a refuge. He needs an offering. He needs an altar and a sacrifice. An altar and a sacrifice. That altar is the very person of Emmanuel. The sin. Emmanuel in the sinner's place. In all his suitable truth in the God man, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I have to leave it a little early because I've been in hospital. This blessed God man. Oh, and in that intercession on high, it's those sweet merits. In that gracious way for the worst of sinners and to grant them by the virtue of the offering that liberty. We may say it's heaven itself, isn't it? It's where the Lord is sweetly, there's a sweet hymn about it. You'll have to excuse me tonight. There's a sweet hymn, 120, with joy we meditate the grace. Of our high priest above, his heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love, touch with a sympathy within. That's in the text, according to his riches in glory. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And that's in our text. It seems to be springing up like that. According to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus, to make a place the poor sinners, and to view them from above the mercy seat, and to bring poor sinners unto himself, which is that glorious work of the mediator, the advocate on high, one able, friends, willing, the hymn writer says, doubt no more. No, it's something the world, and of course, by nature, we know nothing of. There is a God, Emmanuel, God with us, in all that sweet suitability to bring poor sinners right to God himself, to deliver them from sin, and to be with them. Now, just a few things that belong to the practical supply of all our needs. My friend, is his hand sure? Lacked you anything? If you've got Christ, you've got all, friends. And I venture to say, a Father's hand is in it. He that has made my heaven secure. Here all good provide. He won't give you Jesus Christ and leave you short here. There may be a trial. Maybe things to walk in. But it's this word, friends. We can only just hint about it. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, as if this is the heavenly rule. According, make no mistake about it, according to his riches in glory, those riches, especially of his precious blood, the riches of his love, his mercy, the riches of his grace. Well, Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? Oh, but it's walking in it, isn't it? With the heart so hard, so full of unbelief, that the Lord grant, according to his riches in glory, that sweet knowledge of Emmanuel, God with us. How sufficient he is, my God shall supply all your need in providence and in grace, I'm sure. But he gives more than we deserve, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, who can speak of that? And so, the truth is this: we need to be lifted up from this poor world and have that inheritance above with the Lord's people and granted grace. I must leave a few things. I hope you'll excuse me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard is again expected to preach next Lord's Day. And next Friday evening, Mr. Tim Barker is expected to preach as Mr. Robert Field is unable to be with us. Let us close with hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
O Lord, do forgive all amiss. Grant us more than just words, but live in faith when we leave thy house. We feel our need to be with us on the Sabbath, if it could please thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.